Lecture topic, Abdullah bin Mas'ud part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Was salatu was salamu ala al mab'uth rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmid din wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wa furqanihil hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالت إحداهما يا أبت استأجره إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا دين لمن لا أمانة له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, a question that features very common and very often amongst the layman, given the difference of opinion that exists amongst the scholars and the ulama, whose opinion should we follow? This is a question that comes from time to time, whether you're looking for guidance on medical related issues, whether you're looking at investment portfolios, whether you're looking at taking out insurances, there is a host of opinions that exist. It leaves the layman in a relatively complex situation. These are the sentiments that are echoed from time to time. To start off, let me say that this is not exclusive to the ulama fraternity. It is found across the spectrum. Difference of opinion is not exclusive to the fraternity of ulama. It is found in the most broadest of contexts. Not to speak of the gross difference that is found between traditional and Western medication, amongst Western medication itself, you will find the findings of one practitioner differ from that of another, the research different, hence the analogies and the conclusions differ. But be it as it may, that's not the answer I want to provide. The very same question was posed to a very profound tabi'i, none other than Salma ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayh. And the person who asked him the question was his own son. Now, just to fill you in who Salma ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi was, he used to say, amongst the many quotations that he had uttered, one quotation he said, "Kullu ni'matin la tuqarribuka min Allahi fahiya niqma." Every apparent bounty which doesn't bring you close to Allah, consider it a tragedy and a calamity. Every apparent bounty, health, wealth, fame, recognition, affluence, whatever it is, but if this doesn't stimulate you closer to your Creator, then that's a flavor of a bounty, but in essence, it is a tragedy. So anyway, one day his son asked the father the question. The question was quite simple. Oh my dad, inna ashyakhana kathirun, fabiman naqtadi minhum. We have a host of scholars and we have multiple ulama, and everybody's research and findings differ from that of another. How do we follow? Who do we follow? And he gave a brilliant answer. And that's the yardstick with which we measure and we decide our way forward. He said, اقتدي بمن يخاف الله في ظهر الغيب. Look for that scholar who, in addition to fearing Allah in his public capacity, fears Allah in his private life. Look for that scholar, اقتدي بِمَنْ يَخَافُ اللَّهَ فِي ظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. Look for that scholar who, in addition to fearing Allah in his public life, he fears Allah in his private life. A. Number two, وَيَعِفُّ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ التَّلَبُّسِ بِالْعَيْبِ. And look for that scholar who distanced himself from probing, exposing, and divulging the flaws of others. Unfortunately, exposing the flaws of others have become a dedicated agenda for many people. Allah forbid, it has become a symbol of identification. So when you want guidance, which scholar do you follow? He said two things. Number one, اقتدي بمن يخاف الله في ظهر الغيب. Look for the man who, in addition to fearing Allah in his public life, he fears Allah in his private life. وَيَعِفُّ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ التَّلَبُّسِ بِالْعَيْبِ. And he doesn't mess himself up exposing, divulging, highlighting, discrediting people. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. We are the ones that very quickly are ready to blurt and say, this guy is like this, and the time is like this, and the era is like this, and things have evolved, and they rebellious, and he's obstinate, and they arrogant. وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا. Whereas the greatest defect lies with me. وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. And if I'm sorted out, the world is sorted out. If I'm sorted out, the world is sorted out. You know, I mentioned this once before. They say this one scholar was preparing a Jummah lecture, so he gave his son, a little boy was, you know, interrupting. So there was a map there on a little magazine. He cut it into pieces. He gave it to his boy. He said, okay, my son, you put this map together and I'll prepare my Friday sermon. So constructive engagement. Instead of putting him in front of the devil box or giving him a phone to play with games, he said, yeah, let's see how good you are with your geography, how you understand. So anyway, he cut the map into pieces, gave it to the boy. To his utter surprise, the boy put the world together in 2 minutes. So the father is like taken aback, man, what skills, my son, which school you go to? He said, no, dad, look on the flip side. On the flip side was the image of a human. I put the legs together, I put the hands together, I put the head in place. He said, my son, you gave me a topic. If man comes together, the world is together. All I did was put the legs and the hands together and the world came right. نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. وَنَهْجُ ذَا الزَّمَانَ بِغَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا. Imam Shafi goes on to say, we very casually blurt and say, you know, the times are so bad and people are so wicked and people are so evil. But hypothetically, if for a moment Allah had to give the earth the ability to speak and say, listen, from Adam you've seen humans come in, what's your take on the current humans? If Allah had to give the earth the ability to speak, so we're saying things are bad and this is like this and that. If Allah had to give the earth the ability to speak, وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا. He said, if the earth had to speak up about us, it would have confessed, I've never seen more wicked humans from Adam till today. وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. He said, as cunning and as treacherous and as sly as a wolf and a fox is, but it never stoops so low to devour its own, but the human devour their own as well. He said, as sly and as cunning as a fox and a wolf is, it knows where to pray and where to abstain. It never devours its own. وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. But one man openly devours another. دِيَانَتُنَا أَتَّصَنُّعُ وَالتَّرَائِي. Nothing left in my piety other than to create an image. وَنَحْنُ بِهِ نُخَادِعُ مَنْ يَرَانَا. Wherever I can project more piety, that is where I show it more so that people can be impressed with me. And then he goes on to say, and these couplets left me thinking, you know, I often say, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said that if Allah revealed nothing in the Quran but Suratul Asr, it was sufficient for the guidance of mankind. I, in my humble opinion, say, if Imam Shafi left behind nothing for us but his poetry, it was a rich legacy. He has compiled and authored more than 200 books, but if only his diwan, if only the poetry he left behind was a rich legacy. He said, لَمْ يَبْقَ فِي النَّاسِ إِلَّا الْمَكْرُ وَالْمَلَقُ شَوْكٌ إِذَا لَمَسُوا زَهْرٌ إِذَا رَمَقُ. There's nothing left in the world but pride and arrogance. When you touch them, you realize they are thorns and they prick you. Yet from a distance, they look like a blossoming flower. شَوْكٌ إِذَا لَمَسُوا. Touch the man and he pricks you. زَهْرٌ إِذَا رَمَقُوا. But from a distance, his trouser is above his ankles. He's clad in the sunnat libas. Whatever external reflection of piety. فَإِنْ دَعَتْكَ الذَّرُورَاتُ لِعِشْرَتِهِمْ فكن جحيما لعل الشوك يحترق. He said, if circumstances compel you to socialize with them, it's a world. How many thorns are you going to avoid? You know less. I'm a thorn, you're a thorn. So we got to get ourselves and wiggle our way through. How do we interact? He said, become stern, become rigid. Nay, become a flame. فَإِنْ دَعَتْكَ الضَّرُورَاتُ إِلَىٰ عِشْرَتِهِمْ فَكُنْ جَحِيمًا لَعَلَّ الشَّوْكَ يَحْتَرِقُ. Hopefully you can burn the thorn before it pricks you. So anyway, what was his advice? He said, search for that scholar who fears Allah in his private and his public life, and distance himself from exposing the faults and the flaws of others. يَقُولُونَ الزَّمَانُ بِهِ فَسَادُ وَهُمْ فَسَدُوا وَمَا فَسَدَ الزَّمَانُ وَيُصْلِحُ نَفْسَهُ فِي أَوَانِ الصَّبَأِ وَلَا يُرْجِئُ ذَلِكَ إِلَىٰ عَهْدِ الشَّيْبِ. And another sign of the scholar is you will find that he hastens to reform himself. He's passionate about the self-reformation of his own life, and he doesn't delay this. Anyway, that's just the beginning, you know, because this thing tends to feature from time to time. If we look at all the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, essentially it can be narrowed down to two hadith. You know, obviously the vast compilation. The one is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not underestimate the potential of any good action. A. Look what a profound statement. And the second hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إياك ومحقرات الذنوب فإن لها من الله طالبا. Oh Aisha, do not trivialize any crime. Do not consider any vice as insignificant. Now these are two profound statements. The first one stimulates you to do every good action. And the second one cautions and signals a word of caution against every crime and every offense. Now I just want to take that first hadith slightly forward. And that is, do not underestimate the potential of any good. Because you don't know where this good could elevate you. And do not commit any crime because you don't know how it will set you back in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've heard about the great man Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. If we ever taken a step back into his pre-Islamic era, what elevated him to the level that he was? It is said about this young boy, Kana, غُلَامًا يَافِعًا لَمْ يُجَاوِزْ الْحُلْمَ. He had not even barely reached the age of puberty. وَكَانَ يَسْرَحُ فِي شِعَابِ مَكَّةَ بَعِيدًا عَنِ النَّاسِ. He had a little flock that he was grazing on the outskirts of Mecca. لِسَيِّدٍ مِّن سَادَاتِ قُرَيْشُ وَعُقْبَةُ بْنُ أَبِي مُعِيدٍ. His master was Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, a young boy, a nobody, didn't feature anywhere, little flock on the outskirts of Mecca, nobody knew him, recognized him, absolutely nothing. كَانَ النَّاسُ يُنَادُونَهُ إِبْنَ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ, better known as Ibn Ummi Abd, أَمَّا إِسْمُهُ فَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَأَمَّا إِسْمُ أَبِيهِ فَمَسْعُودٍ. His name was Abdullah, his father's name was Mas'ud. ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ أَبْصَرَ الْغُلَامُ الْمَكِّيُّ كَهْلَيْنِ عَلَيْهِمَا الْوَقَارِ يَتَّجِهَانِ نَحْوَهُ مِنْ بَعِيدٍ. One day this boy was diligently executing his duty, taking his flock and grazing them around, when at a distance he sees two elderly people advancing towards him. وَقَدْ أَخَذَ الْجُهْدُ مِنْهُمَا كُلَّمَا أَخَذْ. And tiredness and fatigue was quite apparent on their body. وَاشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِمَا الضَّمْءُ حَتَّى جَفَّتْ مِنْهُمَا الشِّفَاهُ وَالْحَلُوقُ. The thirst was visible on their dry lips. وَقَفَا عَلَيْهِ. They stand by this young boy. سَلَّمَا. They greet him. And then they politely interact with the boy and they ask him, يَا غُلَامْ إِحْلِبْ لَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الشِّيَاهِ مَا نُطْفِئُ بِهِ ضَمْأَنَا وَنَبُلُّ عُرُوقَنَا. Listen boy, we are extremely hungry. We are thirsty. If you could be kind enough to milk a goat, spare us the milk. We could saturate our bellies, quench our thirst. So the boy was very polite, very courteous, very respectful. He said, I wish I could, uncle. فَالْغَنَمُ لَيْسَتْ لِي وَأَنَ عَلَيْهَا مُؤْتَمَنْ. But the reality is, I have been entrusted, and this is an amana. How dare I commit a breach in this trust? I am so sorry, uncle. I don't wish to be insensitive to your hunger. I don't wish to be abrupt to your circumstances. But appreciate my predicament. I'm between a rock and a hard place. This is not mine. I cannot misuse this. The two gentlemen respected the sentiments. One of them then said, دُلَّنِي عَلَى شَاتٍ لَمْ يَنْزُ عَلَيْهَا فَحْلٌ. Okay, okay. Can I put another proposal to you? He said, please do, uncle. He said, show me a virgin goat that has not mated with a male. Which obviously means, in all logical understanding, it can't produce milk. So the boy said, that's not a problem. فَأَشَارَ الْغُلَامُ إِلَى شَاتٍ صَغِيرَةٍ قَرِيبَةٍ مِنْهُ. He said, there's the goat, go for it. It's like, you know, asking someone, can I use a car? He said, you know what, it's not my car, not my petrol. He said, no problem, borrow me a car without petrol. By all means, if you can make that work, good luck to you. فَتَقَدَّمَ الرَّجُلُ, the man advanced, وَجَعَلَ يَمْسَحُ ضِرْعَهَا بِيَدِهِ, and he gently starts stroking the udder. وَهُوَ يَذْكُرُ عَلَيْهَا إِسْمَ اللَّهِ, and he was reading something while he did it. And this boy says, I'm thinking to myself, وَمَتَى كَانَتِ الشِّيَاهُ الصَّغِيرَةُ الَّتِي لَمْ تَنْزُ عَلَيْهَا الْفُحُولُ تَدُرُّ لَبَنًا. I mean, I'm a shepherd for years. I grew up in the meadows. I know the ins and the outs. You're not going to teach me something new. What am I seeing? لَكِنَّ ضَرْعَ الشَّاتِ مَا لَبِثَ أَنْ انْتَفَخْ وطفق اللبن ينبثق منه ثرا غزيرا اي كثيرا وفيرا. Before I could engage the man, the others were brimming with milk. وانا لا اكاد اصدق ما ارى. And I'm like, am I seeing right? اخذ الرجل الاخر حجرا مجوفا من الارض وملأه باللبن. The other gentleman grabbed the hollow stone from the ground, filled the vessel up. Shariba, he drank, sahibuhu, his companion, and they offered me. And I said, well, this is not my master's goat, nor from his milk. This is taken from somewhere else. So if it comes like this, it's not a problem. You know, one good friend of mine, he sells little chocolates. So he sells this Ferrero and these other chocolates. He said, Morana, I offer it to someone. He said, no, I'm diabetic, my brother. I said, take it free. He said, okay, no problem. Jazakallah. How? For a minute ago, you were diabetic. No, my brother, that pocket that's diabetic. He said, take it, then he's knocking it. Anyway, he offered it to me, I had it. Everything is over. قال الرجل المبارك لضرع الشاة انقبض. He then tells the other gently that shrink. Imagine that time where you could literally communicate to the animal, nay, to the udder of an animal, and it was compliant. Try it with your son today and he will show you arrogance. Try it with your son and the arrogance he will show you. فَمَا زَالَ يَنْقَبِذْ. The other shrunk. حَتَّى عَادَ إِلَى مَا كَانْ. Came back to its original condition. So it's like a point of separation. قُلْتُ لِلْرَجُلِ الْمُبَارَكِ. I said to this man, listen, you know what? It's been an amazing tale. It's been phenomenal. For me, it's been an absolute mystery. عَلِّمْنِي مِنْ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ الَّذِي قُلْتَ. You don't want to impart with me and disseminate. What's this know-how and how do you do it? He said, my boy, you have an amazing quality of honesty. You hold on to that quality will link you up with me. You live with that quality. كانت هذه بداية قصة عبد الله بن مسعود مع الإسلام. إذ لم يكن الرجل المبارك إلا رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. ولم يكن صاحبه إلا الصديق رضي الله عنه. This is where the spark in the heart of Ibn Mas'ud was ignited. This is where it started. The two gentlemen were none other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq. They walk away from here. He is busy admiring this man. وَكَمَا أَحَبَّ الْغُلَامُ الرَّسُولَ الْكَرِيمَ وَصَاحِبَهُ وَتَعَلَّقَ بِهِمَا فَقَدْ أُعْجِبَ الرَّسُولُ وَصَاحِبُهُ بِالْغُلَامِ. And he says, but that man left me motivated in a minute. You know, it's amazing how some people can come and in 1 minute and uplift everybody's spirit. Walking to the oh, you're doing great work, wonderful, brilliant, what a sweet child, oh, you're so kind. In a minute, they can lift up the spirit of everyone. And it's amazing how, unfortunately, some in a minute, they can spoil the day of everyone. It's amazing how some people just upset the whole rhythm. So these two people, the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, they marvel at the honesty of this boy. And this boy is marveling at the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. Now what was it? The hadith I quoted, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no deen left if there's no honesty into you. It constitutes sufficient betrayal for me to answer my private call during office hours when I'm employed, only to aggravate the crisis and to elevate the problem and to compound the issue. An average employee today has the audacity of using his employer's phone to make his private call. Now you tell me what your Hajj will do, my brother. You decide. How I know I'm receiving a social call, Maulana, I need to phone you 10 o'clock, I've got some private issues, during office hours, from the office call. I mean, where are we heading? What are we looking for? He said, you look after this quality of honesty into you. It wasn't long, he said, I need to meet up with this man. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, I have been taken aback by your quality and by your faith. Can I embrace the faith? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepts him. وَضَعَهُ الرَّسُولُ فِي خِدْمَتِهِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then embraces him and privileges him to become the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like someone wrote it, وَمُنْذُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ انتقل الغلام المحظوظ عبد الله ابن مسعود من رعاية الغنم إلى خدمة سيد الخلق والأمم. You think you privilege my brother from a teacher to become a principal, from a minister to become a president? Ibn Mas'ud is promoted from a shepherd on the outskirts of Makkah to the devout companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had house permission. There was general restriction on the Sahaba. إذا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إنا ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا. See the whole circumstances that prompted the revelation of this ayah. The long and short, don't come and loiter and congregate outside the house of a Nabi. When he calls you, enter. Don't arrive before the meal. When the meal has been consumed, then disperse. وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ Don't entertain discussions. Your prolonged discussions after the meal annoys the Nabi. This was the general rule. But Ibn Mas'ud enjoyed the privilege. أَذِنَ لَهُ بِالدُّخُولِ عَلَيْهِ وَالْوُقُوفِ عَلَى سِرِّهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحَرُّجٍ وَلَا تَأَثُّمٍ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ibn Mas'ud, you walk in any time. For you there's no restrictions, to the extent that Abu Musa Ash'ari said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا أَرَى إِلَّا ابْنَ مَسْعُودٍ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ When I embraced the faith and I seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I took it for granted that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is a family member simply because of the access to the house he enjoyed. Only to know later he was not a family member. Like today we mistake the son-in-law to be the son. Or not even the son, the future son-in-law. The future son, oh, I thought your son. Oh, maaf. No, inshallah, make God is getting married to my daughter next year. Huh? Wait, what are we talking? He walked in any time. تَابَعَهُ فِي كُلِّ خَصْلَةٍ مِّنْ خِصَالِهِ Now listen to this here. Again, what did I say? It was one quality of honesty that took this man to the heights that it took him. The quality of honesty and loyalty. My message in simple, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not underestimate any action. One person comes to Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه. He says, جئت من الكوفة. I am coming from Kufa. وتركت بها رجلا يملي المصاحف عن ظهر قلبي. And I've noticed a very, very upsetting trend there. And a peculiar practice. And I know, Umar, this is really going to anger you. So he said, what's it? He said, I seen a man dictating the Quran from memory. فَغَضِبَ عُمَرُ غَضَبًا قَلَّمَا غَضِبَ مِثْلًا Umar lost it and he became absolutely angry. He was raging. We know the average anger of Umar, what it was. So when he really lost it, you can work out what that would do to Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, وَيْحَكْ مَنْ هُوَ Who is this person who has the audacity of doing what you just said? He said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So Umar said, why didn't you say that first? Why didn't you say that first when you're just pushing my blood pressure up for nothing? وَاللَّهِ مَا أَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ بَقِيَ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ أَحَقُّ بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُ I can tell you with safety, there's no human on the planet Earth that has the rights and enjoys the authority to dictate the Quran, relying on his sheer intelligence than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He's the one and the only that has the rights. Where his life started? from one meadow on the outskirts of Makkah grazing his flock, where he met my Nabi when my Nabi asked him for milk. What did my Nabi say? Look after your quality of honesty, and from there Allah will pave the way. It's one quality that sets you back, and it's one quality that takes you forward. I told you a summary of the entire compilation of the hadith. Don't underestimate a good action. Don't trivialize an evil. The Prophet ﷺ held Aisha, إِيَّاكِ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. Aisha, abstain from all sins. But make it a conscious point to abstain from sins which people trivialize. Make it a conscious point. Anyway, he says, let me tell you something about him. I got to wrap up. He says, one day the Prophet ﷺ came to visit Abu Bakr. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسمر ذات ليلة عند أبي بكر. Now again, when I read this, it gives me a shiver in my body. Allah's Nabi tells Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, I'll be coming home today. I need to discuss something with you. Can the words of any language encapsulate the privilege? I'm phoning, what time you sleeping? Wait, we come in, we'll go out for a coffee and I need to discuss. Allah's Nabi telling Abu Bakr, I'm coming home. The riwayat of Bukhari, Aisha said, radiyallahu anha, from the time I opened my eyes, one thing I knew, Allah's Nabi visited my father morning and evening. As a child, the sight that lived with me, which grew up, and obviously Allah then privileged me to be the wife and the consort and the noble partner of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the thing that stayed with me was, I knew Allah's Nabi would visit us tarfayin nahar, in the morning and the evening. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the house of Abu Bakr, wahuma yatadhakarani, and they discuss in some issues of the Muslims. ثم خرج رسول الله نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم exits وخرجنا معه, and we also tag along behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. As we come out, it's the late hours of the night, the early hours of the morning. فإذا رجل قائم يصلي بالمسجد. We pass in by Masjid al-Nabawi, and at the distance we see the shadow, and then we realize somebody is performing salah. We all are in, we don't know who it is, but obviously it was something that intrigued us all. Now what a pleasant sight for Allah's Nabi to walk out and to see in the late hours of the night his sahabi is performing salah. May Allah make that a common sight, that if perchance you have to awaken in the night and you get up and you see the light on, then you see your son is not on the computer but he's in musalla. And you go in the lounge and you see your daughter is not busy emailing, or she's not busy seeing some pornography or some earphones, but she is crying and performing salah and reciting Quran. I swear by Allah, my brother, this is wealth. If you have it, you're a billionaire. And if you lack it, then like me, we all are paupers. That is wealth. Allah's Nabi walks out, nobody knows. He walks out, he sees a shadow, he comes there. He halts, he tells us, quiet. فَوَقَفَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَسْتَمِي. Allah's Nabi then becomes motionless and stretches an attentive ear. And then he realizes Ibn Mas'ud is engrossed in his recitation. He's consumed. You see a man in his shop, you know, he's carried away. He doesn't realize his father walks into the shop. I can understand you don't make out your father-in-law, but your father, at least make him out. He's consumed. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Man sarrahu an yaqra' al-Qur'ana ratban kama nazal, falyaqra'hu ala qira'ati ibn ummi 'abdin." Listen, Abu Bakr and Umar. This is Ibn Mas'ud reading. I promise you, precisely as Allah revealed it, this man has captured it. He himself said, أَخَذْتُ مِنْ فَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَبَعِينَ سُورَةً لَا يُنَازِعُنِي فِيهَا أَحَدٍ. I say, I learned this from the Imam in the Masjid. Ibn Mas'ud said, I learned 70 chapters direct from my Nabi. Nobody was an in-between chain. تَمَسَّكُوا بِعَهْدِ إِبْنِ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ. Hold on to the footsteps of this young boy, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and you will walk with me in Jannah. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to us. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ يَدْعُوا. This is again the private life. You know, I mentioned in my opening comments which scholar you must follow, who in his private life he fears Allah. جَلَسَ يَدْعُوا. He sat down and is making dua. And the Prophet ﷺ is at the back. وَالرَّسُولُ يَقُولُ سَلْ تُعْطَى سَلْ تُعْطَى. Ibn Mas'ud is engrossed. He's in salah. He knows nothing. Allah's Nabi is sitting at the back. Abu Bakr and Umar are behind them. It's the late hours of the night. And Allah's Nabi is saying, Ibn Mas'ud, make dua. I'm saying, Ameen. 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 You ask. Abu Bakr and Umar said, we are green with envy. Ya Allah, look at this man. My brother, this is a privilege. Now today I unfortunately have haram in my life, And then I want to thrill someone. I'm looking at the Kaaba and the Hajar Aswad and I'm making dua for you, my brother. Do the right things and make dua in your local masjid, it will be accepted. And you do the wrong things, wallah, it won't be accepted at the Kaaba. Anyway, he said, Ibn Mas'ud is making dua. وَالرَّسُولُ يَقُولْ سَلْ تُعْتَى Allah's Nabi is saying, making dua, make dua. I'm going to end with this shortly, inshallah. Umar radiallahu anhu narrating this incident, he said, I'm envying this man. And I'm jumping with joy. Again, look at the boldness of the shoulders of Sahaba. If it was us, we would have said, now I mean, we sat with the Nabi of Allah, 4 hours of my private time, I'm sitting with him, and yet suddenly he sees Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and all the credit goes this guy's way. And like, yeah, we're sitting high and dry. Today, a father has to control his expressions, because why? One will feel offended by the other. I can understand the finicky and sensitive nature if you have multiple spouses, how to juggle yourself between one wife and another. But a father can't boldly praise one because the second one takes offense. Or he can't openly condemn one because this one takes objection. The Prophet ﷺ had such devout companions around him. Abu Bakr and Umar with him the entire night. But when he was captured by Ibn Mas'ud, he poured his du'as out. Their hearts were so clean. Abdullah ibn Umar said, وَاللَّهِ لَأَغْدُوَنَّ عَلَىٰ عَبْدُ ibn Mas'ud وَلَأُبَشِّرَنَّهُ بِتَأْمِينِ الرَّسُولِ In my heart, I said, the one thing I can do, in the morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to dash to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I'm going to hug him from outside and say, my brother, you made it, you sailing. You don't know, I must tell you, last night, when you were making dua, Allah's Nabi was saying, Ameen. I slept with this. Look at the clean intention. He said, فَغَدَوْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَبَشَّرْتُهُ فَوَجَدْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ قَدْ سَبَقَنِي إِلَيْهِ وَاللَّهِ مَا سَابَقْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ إِلَىٰ خَيْرٍ قَدْتُ إِلَّا سَبَقَنِي إِلَيْهِ I'm up, I'm excited. I said, I'm going to break good news. Everybody likes to break good news. And when you go, why are you telling me bad news? Everybody's knocking and notching this one. And so anyway, he said, I went running to the house of Ibn Mas'ud. I said, open the door. He opens the door. I hugged him. He said, what's it, Umar? He said, I got good news for you, my brother. Look at how clean their hearts were. He said, what's the good news? Last night you were making dua. Allah's Nabi was saying Ameen to your dua. He said, Jazakallah for informing me. Abu Bakr was here earlier. He told me. Hi, how clean. Today when somebody says, my brother, you meet this man. He's a good person. Convey my salams and tell him I made a lot of dua. Yeah, I met this guy. I was talking generally. He gave salam for you also. I was just generally talking about everybody, a bit of a good word. And yeah, he said, your family is a good family. Your family. Tell the man, what does it take of you to be open? Kafa bil mar'i hasida. Kafa bil mar'i hasida. An yagtamma waqta sururik. Umar said, it is sufficient reflection of your jealous nature if you can't be happy on the achievements of others. We hope, we pray, we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He give us the ability also to develop the quality of honesty and loyalty. Imagine Ibn Mas'ud, he's making dua, Allah's Nabi is saying Ameen. Unfortunately, the average Muslim is walking around today with the curse of Jibreel and the Ameen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The average Muslim is not walking with the dua, the curse of Jibreel, sanctioned by Allah's Nabi. Allah guide and inspire one and all.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.